With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, you people, you're not funny. One of the text messages was Jason Garrett. Stop it. Like I said, you're trying to get better than Bill O'Brien if you're going to replace him, and Jason Garrett is what you bring to the table? That's just a disgruntled Cowboy fan.
He's better at the rapid hand clapping. He's got that.
He's better at getting shunned by his own players on high fives. But other than that, I'm like, come on, man. Stop it. So, obviously, hour number one was consumed with Texans talk. And it is very interesting, the fact that people just seem to be so down and negative and pissed off about a team that looks like it's taking control of the division. So just trying to get the pulse of what you guys think and why. And a lot of people have texted in with basically one way or another saying, I just wasn't interested. I was bored. I checked in periodically. I'm like, this isn't a game against the Buccaneers late in the season.
Right.
This is the game you had to have. This was do or die. This is where your fan base and everybody else bleeds Texans red, white, and blue and says, I'm all in. That's shocking to me. And I say this because of the fact that, look, I did grow up in a state much... I think football is more dominant in Texas and popular than I would say even in my home state of Wisconsin, even though it is obviously Packer football and Badger football is very big. But I know that on a Sunday, there's a reason why the entire city of Green Bay shuts down and almost the entire state of Wisconsin shuts down whenever the Packers are playing. I can tell you Sunday night against the Niners in California, it doesn't matter. The entire state is going to be tuned in, dialed in, radio or TV or otherwise, and they're going to make sure they follow their team. That's what I would expect of a Texan fan base. And that's why I want to know why that's one of the things that I'm hearing was I just wasn't interested last night.
Do you think it was because the game did kind of start, it was a little boring? Honestly, as a football fan.
What a boring win.
Right.
With what was on the table is far better than anything else that they could have had going last night.
But your favorite announcing team of Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, they were commenting on how kind of lifeless the crowd was and kind of how it was a slow start to the game. And, you know, they were talking about the Texans and the crowd and the defense, and it didn't seem like they were that into it. And they were even commenting on it wasn't a very exciting game. They were bored, too. And I know you respect them more than any other broadcast
team. No, I don't. You know that. But at the same time, you heard Bradshaw and Strahan and Tony Gonzalez say, hey, look, it was kind of a grinded out first half, but they really expected it to open up in the second half. And I don't know that it really opened up, but obviously the big plays, the chunk plays, they were there. But this, I'm going back to the fact that, okay, I hear the people that bitch and say it's too expensive. I can't afford tickets for something like that. But like you said, there were affordable tickets if you just looked in the right spot.
Yes.
But if you didn't have to worry about buying a ticket, you're a big enough fan of this team in this city that regardless, of you should be dialed in on your couch or at the bar or like we were talking about where we were. We would think that it would be wall-to-wall people at Twin Peaks or otherwise. Lined up to say, I got to support my team. I got to be there. I saw more Colts fans at the Twin Peaks I was at one point than Texans fans. That's inexcusable, people.
And I saw them in the crowd, too, from some of the TV shots. And look, I think there's something to it, Joel, because, you know, we work up here and we deal with sales and advertising and a lot of different facets of this job. And you don't typically hear a whole lot of, you know, we want to get the radio guys out here so that people come watch these Astros games. They usually don't need that because people go watch the Astros games in the playoffs and the World Series just because they want to watch the Astros in the playoffs and the World Series. It seems like with the Texans, They do want an extra little bit of help to get people out watching the game and having some specials and enjoying themselves. So there's something to it, man. There's something about this. And I wonder if it's going to flip, right? Because the Astros are so likable and everybody loves A.J. Hinch. And, you know, and now with all this, you know, alleged sign-stealing scandal, you know, you talked about it the other day. They might be the most hated team in baseball now outside of Houston, Texas. You know, you wonder if that's going to flip. But for whatever reason, the Texans aren't that interesting or likable to anybody outside of Houston. And now you're starting to feel like it's even in Houston, too.
Yeah, it seems like it's a growing concern across the entire sports landscape, like you mentioned, when it was turned from the Astros to the asterisk,
yep,
from the standpoint that the 2017 World Series now could be completely tainted because of everything that's going down, and that was the one franchise and the one shining gem of the city that you thought was untouchable and was the calling card. Now, because of that, are you telling me that because of all the heartbreak and the failure and how many people hate Bill O'Brien just like they hate James Harden? Let's be honest, people. Let's just call it what it is. Because as good as Harden, and I've been on the Harden bandwagon this year telling you what you're witnessing is unbelievable from an offensive perspective. But nationally, you see why the leaders for MVP in their mind are Luka Doncic, Giannis, and LeBron.
And it's the same thing with Deshaun Watson, even before he got blown out by the Ravens. It was all, you know, Russell Wilson and Lamar and all these other guys. Aaron Rodgers.
You're in this bubble, in this city, and you're supposed to be fed a bit of bill of goods that you're supposed to buy into that says we're doing it the right way with the right folks in the right positions. Mm-hmm. And outside of this bubble, everybody is shaking the snow globe going, man, it's freezing in there and I ain't getting anywhere near it. So that's what I wanted to get to the bottom of today, because it's really shocking to me. You won the game last night. You took control of the division. You're in a great position, and you would think they got beat by the same score as the Ravens game.
Is it this? Is it they expect that they're just going to go lose to the Patriots next week and it's not going to matter? And then let me ask you this after that. What if they beat the Patriots? Does that change things?
It better. If this one doesn't change your mind, finally getting off the schneid with the Patriots, if that doesn't turn it around and get people jazzed, regardless of Bill O'Brien, I don't know what else. I don't know what else to say to you. I don't know what to do.
I mean, I think that would change things, because if you go and beat the Patriots, we've been waiting forever to do that. I know we did it that one time. Remember when Wes Welker blew out his ACL and they were pulling
late in the regular season.
Yeah, they were pulling Brady in and out of the game because it didn't mean anything to them. So I don't really count that one. But if they beat the Patriots and then look at the rest of the schedule, you got, you know, the Titans
Tampa Bay,
a couple times.
Twice.
I mean, they could, you know, they could actually take over one of those buys, especially if you beat New England. I think that would change things, but man, that's a lot to say, hey, you're going to have to get in the AFC championship game for me to care.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we'll continue to roll on. I take it, Aaron, we'll take this call after the break. So, Sean, hang in there. We'll get you right after the break. And then, of course, if there's other things you want to talk about, we mentioned the Rockets. We mentioned the fact they're playing the Clippers tonight. We can talk about that. We can talk about anything else that you might have on your mind. Coming up this weekend, we're going to talk about some college football games. If you have fantasy football questions, I told you, fire them by Josh. He is our local resident expert on fantasy football. He'll have answers if you have questions as you get down to the playoffs in your seasons. So all that and a whole lot more. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! Rolling through hour number two, 3 hour show. Having a lot of fun on an FEF Friday. Appreciate Josh Jordan filling in from Moneyline on Sundays with him and Jerry Bowe. To spell Barry, who's in Oklahoma City doing some comedy. And the whole gang will be back on Monday. Nick in Vegas working with the boys on The Fight. So a little different. We're not going to have a comedian of the week this week with Barry out, but we are going to have plenty of Fs, and we've been talking a lot of football. We're going to have some fantasy talk. If you guys have questions, Josh has answers in that regard. And obviously, F for failure, because there's more people finding failure in what happened last night than what happened from a winning perspective for your Houston Texans. A lot of you are chiming in, both on text message, Twitter, and, of course, calling. And Sean wants to get in here about Texan fans' disinterest. Sean, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. I just wanted to talk about, I'm pretty confident that I can speak for most Texans fans that we're just over it. I mean, it's the same willingness to accept mediocrity with the Texans. It all starts with the common denominator, Bill O'Brien. Everyone in Houston knows it. There was a general buzz, you know, with the Ravens game. But after that first quarter, we've seen this movie before. We know what's going to happen next week. We're going to get smashed again. And he's just that employee that's going to continue to do just enough to stay under the radar and continue to keep his job. So it's just sad. We just don't care. I had the game on last night just to kind of hear it. Turned it off at halftime, and I decided to watch a movie because I knew how it was going to play out. We're either going to barely win, barely lose, and just keep limping through the season, get bounced first round if we even make the playoffs. So we're just exhausted, and I'm happy that people aren't showing up. I refuse to buy gear. I'm just not going to even support him in any ways anymore because I'm just over it. I appreciate it, fellas.
Interesting. Thanks, man. I appreciate the call. Look, I mean, I said this after the Ravens game. The overwhelming social media wave of content was, been there, done that, done it too many times. Get jacked up and say, this is finally the year. And it used to be because you didn't have a franchise quarterback. You got him, then you got him hurt, then you didn't get an offensive line. And then it was Rick Smith and he was gone. And then it was, you know, Bill O'Brien's play calling, and then he got an offensive coordinator that he won't let call plays. And then you look at everything that happened along the way, and the overwhelming concern and basically cause that I'm getting, and I'm getting it today, and I'm also getting it, like I said, after the Ravens game last week, was I'm not going to set myself up for this anymore. Hard, right?
That's what it is, right? You're tired of getting let down, especially when you see it coming. You know, it's that fool me once, fool me twice kind of thing, right?
But you could be the Bengals fans right now. You could be watching a dumpster fire of losses pile up week in, week out, hoping that your only glimpse of success is going to be, we may win one or two, but we're going to have a great draft pick. Instead, you're a team that's now atop of your division, basically in control of it, and you're going to return to the playoffs for probably the fourth time in the six-year history of Bill O'Brien. I think that's right. 4 out of 6 years, he's gotten his team to the playoffs. So you could say all you want, but it could be a whole hell of a lot worse. And yet people are basically just mailing it in, going, maybe if I don't, I mean, let's take the call, for instance. Maybe if I don't buy gear, I don't go to games, and I just am not interested anymore, I'll get the results I want? I don't know if is that accurate?
That reminds me of something that I thought this was really clever that Raheel brought up on the morning show. It was a month or two ago. And he was like, what if it was like Netflix, Joel? Like it's some show on Netflix and you know the show's going to be good, but the ending is going to be absolutely terrible. Like, you know, the last two episodes are going to be awful, but the show will be pretty good. Are you going to watch it going in? Like, knowing that ahead of time, going in. Do you want to watch a good Netflix show that you know the last couple episodes are going to be awful? Is that the Texans?
I think that, yeah, from the standpoint of until you get to that, and I assume you're alluding to like what happens in the playoffs.
Right.
But I think that you ride the wave and enjoy the rest of the season, the rest of the entire season of shows, because you realize I'm going to be more entertained than not with winning instead of being a consummate losing program. Because, again, the same thing could be said about the Rockets, right?
Yeah.
But when the Rockets won 65 games, set a franchise record, put the league on its ear and on notice of going, this is impressive. You can't tell me that the entire city wasn't optimistic that that was the year and the team that was going to beat the Warriors.
But I will tell you, as somebody that does social media for a living and helps run a sports website, nobody cared until April, May of that season.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, you look at the first couple of rounds of the playoffs, that's exactly what we're talking about a big game.
Yeah.
Everybody, if it wasn't the Warriors series.
Right.
Everybody just assumed, okay, this is a win. I don't need to waste my time with this. Let's just get on to it. When you play the Warriors, I'll be interested.
Yeah, Minnesota, nobody cared. And those were playoff games.
That's on you, people. At some point, it's got to be on the fans of Houston. You got to be better than that. I know you don't like Bill O'Brien for the most part. I know that you're sick and tired of this same scenario playing out. But I also know that you are a football city. You're a football state. You're a great sports town. And you're getting a really bad rap because it's not just one team or one sport. It's kind of a blanket story now for this city, and it's sad.
You're actually kind of getting penalized for your own success, which is odd to say.
In a way you are, because it's regular season success, right?
Yeah.
And you do set the bar higher with every time that you win a division or get a certain win total. But you also have to be realistic that things change. The landscape changes. Trades are made. Teams get better. Teams decline. But overall, it doesn't change your love for a team and a sport. I just can't believe that James Harden and Bill O'Brien are the reason why you've soured this much on your basketball team and your football team.
And you better enjoy it if you're a Texans fan now.
Oh, God.
Because are you going to be real pumped when the draft comes around and you don't have a first-round draft pick for the next 2 years? Are you going to look forward to that? Remember, that was the old argument was, oh, I'd rather them just lose so they get a higher draft pick. And you know, I'd rather, instead of them go 9-7, I'd rather them just bottom out so you get a higher draft pick. You can't make that argument anymore.
No, and that's the thing. I said last night with Raheel, and we were talking about this. If you make the playoffs, okay. But then you have to do something once you get in. Because what the landscape looks like after this season in terms of not only a lack of draft picks, as you mentioned, but that most of your cap space is going to be used up trying to sign a guy that you should have had signed as part of the deal to trade for him in Tunsil. Trying to lock up a guy, IEC Cowboys Dak Prescott, and what you're going to have to do to lock up a Deshaun Watson. You're not going to be able to dabble and spend a lot of money in free agency to fill holes.
What's new? I mean, what was Roby, like the biggest free agent they brought in this
year? And you mentioned that because I was going to go there too.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, when you do get a fairly significant free agent or a guy that's going to help you out, you take him on a flyer on a one-year deal.
Yeah.
And it's almost like now you were hoping he wasn't going to be as good as he was, because now he's so good, you may not afford him next year.
The honey badger.
And he, exactly right. And you go back a year and say, Tyrann Mathieu, same deal. It's not good, people.
It's not. And look, maybe I want to flip it to the other side real quick, Joel, before we move on.
Okay.
We have Jay Glazer on Twitter talking about Bill O'Brien should be considered coach of the year. I mean, it is crazy to me that we in Houston see it so doom and gloom with
jaded,
this guy.
Right?
Yeah, and then Jay Glazer is on the complete other side saying we should be thinking about Bill O'Brien for coach of the year. How could we be so far apart on our opinions with this?
And we got that, right? You got that. Here's Jay Glazer.
What's happening, guys? Jay Glazer here with the NFL on Fox. What a wild game last night on Thursday Night Football on Fox. And the Houston Texans, 7-4. And we always talk about everybody else being coach of the year candidates because how much they've overcome. What about Bill O'Brien? Like, let's throw him in the mix. 7-4. Remember in the preseason, they traded away Jadeveon Clowney. They gave him away to the Seattle Seahawks. And people were like, oh, my gosh, what are they doing? Because Bill's also, you know, somewhat of the GM now also. They traded away everything for Laramie Tunsil. And people are going, oh, forget it. What are they doing? This team is tanking. And now, all of a sudden, here they are at 7-4. And look, I know there's other coaches, the Bill Belichicks and the Sean Paytons that, you know, certainly going to be up there higher. But Bill O'Brien has, I think, surprised everybody and the job he's done.
Wow, Jay Glazer.
Yeah.
I used to respect everything that he said leading into kickoffs on Sunday. So what do you think about that, Houston? We can kick that around as well. We've got lots of calls lining up. We'll get to those. We'll switch gears as well and cover some other things. That's an interesting scenario because I also think, to show you how delusional Jay Glazer may be by throwing Bill O'Brien into that conversation, you're completely overlooking Kyle Shanahan.
Hmm. Yeah.
A guy that has completely taken a team that no one really put in the mix as having one of the best records in football.
What about your boy in Green Bay?
What about Harbaugh in Baltimore?
Yeah.
And the fact that he created a system, turned it over to his assistants, gave him the control to be able to build a system completely unorthodox around a quarterback with special talents that wasn't the norm. Or you could even throw a LaFleur in there.
Why not?
And say, with those three guys, and you're going to tell me Bill O'Brien's in that mix? Stop it, man. All right, that's the first half of the show. Still 90 to go. That means plenty more to get to. Lots of calls lining up. We're going to get to you guys. See the tweets, see the text. Having a good time. Appreciate all the love and interaction from the suspects. Again, it's a discussion, but we've got questions. Hopefully you got answers. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
If you're watching us on Twitch today, I'm sorry. But we're having a little fun here. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show starts right now. All consumed by Texans. If you care, NFL Network is replaying the game right now as we speak to show the absolute greatness of DeAndre Hopkins, of Deshaun Watson's long ball throwing tendencies. I heard Charlie mention this, and he's not wrong. For as great as Deshaun's long ball throws were last night, he was a little off on all the others. But they did find a way to win, and it was fantastic. But again, I keep going back to this, that there's so much negativity, like a black cloud over the city today, and it's not the cold front coming in, that everybody's just turned cold on the Texans, Bill O'Brien. And I'm asking why. Why were you late or not there and not care mode last night? And I'm getting a lot, we're getting a lot of different answers amongst the Ben Burnt went too many times, can't stand Bill O'Brien, set up for the same deal once again where they're going to tease you and then not please you in the playoffs. So let's get some, before we get to anything else, we'll continue to roll with this. We've got a couple calls that want to get in on this. Again, Josh Jordan in for Moneyline, filling in for Barry. Aaron Raybould, my boy behind the glass, filling in for Nick. Troy wanted to get in here on the Sports Fan Talk. Troy, what's up?
How you doing? I'm new to Houston. I've only been here about 5 years, and I'm trying to like the Texans, but the Texans are a business, and the fans are the customers. It's not our job to like the Texans. It's the Texans' job to give us something to like, and they're just not likable. Other than Deshaun, there's really nobody on that team that's likable. The ownership's not likable.
Troy, the coach is not
likable.
Okay.
Don't hang up and listen,
Troy. I want to, first of all, where are you from? Where are you coming from?
I'm from New Orleans.
So you've seen a different fan base with the Saints, different than this?
But the Saints is a little different. New Orleans is a little different than Houston. But I was in the Army. Every time I go somewhere else, wherever team that's local, I like the team. So they're like my secondary team since I live in that place.
Fair enough. All right, so to your point on who's likable, and you said Deshaun was the only guy. What about Hopkins? What about J.J. Watt? What about some of these guys that nationally are starting to get the love as Hopkins, one of the top three receivers in football? J.J. obviously has been at the top of his game and popularity across football. Those guys aren't appealing?
I'll put it like this. I'm a Saints fan. Michael Thomas is one of the best receivers in the NFL. He just with very little love. Why he's not likable, I don't know. But I can't tell people to like Michael Thomas. For some reason, I don't connect with DeAndre Hopkins. I just only connect with Deshaun. Maybe because he's kind of like my son. But the Texans just don't have that thing that make you want to watch them. Like, they have no personality. And no personality and an average team, you're not going to have love. The Saints have personality. So even whether they're winning or losing, the Saints fans can gravitate to the players. There's nobody really to gravitate. And Bill O'Brien, he's a deterrent. So they got to give us something to like if you want us to support them unconditionally and spend our money.
Troy, it's a great call. We appreciate you, man. That's some pretty good insight right there from someone that is on the outside, was on the outside, now inside looking in and giving you some pretty honest answers on your football team.
Bill O'Brien is a deterrent.
Yeah.
That says it all right
there,
man.
Between you and I and Brandon in the weekly production meetings we have before we start putting together videos and the things we do for Sports Map, we know going in that a theme that is going to be viewed and jumped on is anything Bill O'Brien, especially calling out flaws. And sometimes we get hammered for it, like you guys are picking on. But more and more with each passing week, it's more people agreeing than they are telling us to slow our roll.
You're absolutely. It's so far, Joel, that if it's a positive article about just anything Texans related, we will refrain from putting Bill O'Brien's photo on the cover of the article because we know it'll get less page views. Think man. About that. If it's positive, we will lean on Hopkins or Deshaun Watson to be the image of the either the video or the article, because we know O'Brien will get less engagement. And in fact, it'll be perceived as negative. So we try to, the only time we go with O'Brien is if it's a negative story about him, and then we'll go with that image. So, I mean, that just tells you everything. And apparently we're not the only ones that think that. We have New Orleans Saints fans that think that.
Right. But so now here's my question to you with all that being said. When does Cal McNair get that? When does he finally bite into that and get the hook, line, and sinker planted in his mouth that goes, you know what? My dad wasn't willing to do this. My dad was a not rock the boat kind of guy. I'm running the show here now, and it's a business. Like he said, like the caller said, it's a business. If I'm truly focused on the business, no matter how good it's going, if I know that there's one guy that's bringing it down, maybe costing me revenue, that's costing me fans, at some point you weigh the positives and negatives and realize it's the same guy that's given away your future, that's made some mistakes by taking on multiple roles and not being willing to give up other roles, that you start asking, how long do I hang on before I decide it's time to move on?
And Brian, we're going to get to you. I just want to say this real quick because you've been holding there for a few minutes. Who did he learn from, Joel? Daddy, right?
But Bill Belichick, right?
Well,
you're talking about Cal
learn from? Sure, Daddy, right?
But that's what everybody's been waiting to see. Is Cal going to be just a shadow and another of Mr. McNair? Or is Cal going to be his own man and say, you know what? Kind of like when they traded for Stills. Oh, beforehand,
yeah,
that would have never been considered. Now I'm going to take a guy that's been a kneeler in the past and say, you know what? I'm all about winning football games.
That's fair, but he did learn that, boy, 9-7 pays a lot of bills. AFC South championship banners fills up our stadium every Sunday. We sell a lot of J.J. Watt jerseys. You know, and like he saw that, and he saw his dad stick with Kubiak for seems like forever. You know, I'm just saying.
What's tough for Josh? The fact that you're going to take that mentality and say, I'm going to stand tough and stand behind my coach, or one of the guys you just mentioned is a guy I may have to look at cutting because I'm going to need his contract and all of his finances to try and bail me out of the other things that I'm stuck in because of that coach that I'm going to have his back. Because J.J. Watt's contract is going to be an issue.
Oh, it is. And that when they got rid of Clowney and knowing that J.J.'s been hurt like 3 out of the last 4 years and he's 30 – that made no sense to me, but that was clearly a personality thing with O'Brien. And now you see Clowney go have an incredible game against the 49ers a couple weeks
ago. National TV.
Yep.
And like you mentioned, Josh, the one thing is that when the story came out after the deal was done, Bill didn't want him. Brian Gain did. So it was a 2-for-1. Yep. One is Bill O'Brien stays. Brian Gain and Clowney go.
We've seen O'Brien. He beat Rick Smith, and then he beat Gain. He's the guy for now. You want to throw it over to Brian here?
Let's get Brian before the break. You've been waiting a long time. We appreciate you, Brian. What's on your mind?
Hey, Joel. First question is going to be towards you. As a Packers fan, you know, the last couple of years of Texans football, as a Packers fan, would you accept that the way that, you know, a coach like Bill O'Brien, like you guys are saying, who consistently cannot manage the clock of his life dependent on it, you know, I guess my question to you is if the Pack was playing like this, would you be satisfied? And my second part of this would be, I'm kind of comparing, you know, locally, we know what this team has been the last several years. I kind of compare it to, you know, this year's Alabama, right? Like they're on the outside looking in for the college playoff because they haven't really played anybody. We're in the AFC South. I mean, the exceptions of the Chiefs was a really big win when it happened. Right. Which now, you know, they've lost a couple here and there. We've been here, the national media, that Jake Glazer thing that you said about him being coach of the year, I just feel like that's an outside looking in instead of an inside, like we are looking out.
Good stuff, Brian. We appreciate it. We're going to try and get to it. So, look, I'll start that by saying, look, Packer fans take winning very seriously, but they also don't take kindly to unintelligent decisions on the field. And when it's coupled with egotistical, short-sighted remarks into the media, it wouldn't be accepted for long.
I wouldn't think so.
And I think that as Brian was talking to us, I was watching the game itself, and Kyemi Fairbairn came on the screen. And it's kind of a microcosm of the McNairs and this entire franchise. You know that a change should be made. Mm-hmm. You know that this guy's not the guy, but you're afraid to pull the plug and move on. Fairbairn, Bob McNair didn't want to do anything with Bill O'Brien. You know, Rick Smith before that, even with all of his shortcomings and missteps, Rick was a member of the old McNair family. Basically, they were going to change him. It's a theme with a franchise that's a huge negative. And when is it going to change? Because the time to change was when Cal took over for his dad.
Yeah. And when this Caserio thing fell through, I mean, that was a disaster.
Sure.
I mean, there's been so many red flags, but at the end of the day, all their investors are going to be like, hey, we sell a lot of J.J. Watt jerseys. There's a line for people waiting for season tickets. You know, they're making money, Joel.
They are. And again, we had Travis Johnson, Keenan, and other that said, I hate to burst your bubble. They said this a long time ago. But if you think winning is part of the equation with these NFL owners, it's not. It's a nice little icing on the cake kind of thing. But all they care about is making money. That's why the kneeling thing was so important and trying to get out from under that.
This is going to pivot a lot, but I think from a mental health perspective, I bet if you look enough into Bob McNair's past, maybe in high school, maybe he did break up with a girl over the summer, and all of a sudden she got really hot and became the hottest girl out there. And from then it left a scar of don't give up what you have. It could turn out to be good. It'll come back and burn you.
FOMO.
Maybe that was his whole life. Maybe that's how he ended up with, I'm not going to fire this guy because if I fire him, somebody's going to pick him up. It's going to be better. And then I'm going to look like an idiot.
And it's the also the telltale sign of anybody that's in personnel. Never cut one of your own draft picks because it's a bad look on two occasions. One, you found out he couldn't play, but now you're a bad talent evaluator and you're probably a bad coach and you're probably a bad general manager for drafting the guy. So you hang on to him a lot of time. Mitch Trubisky as Exhibit A right now, but so many others that Rick Smith didn't want to cut and wanted to keep around and then found out they couldn't play. So Bill O'Brien's in that boat as well, too. So we'll continue to roll on. Taylor, we see you. We'll get to you. Also, plenty of other things to get to as well. So if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. Text that number. Call that number. Hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two wraps up with this segment, taking you all the way through hour number three and the entire extravaganza of the big show we call The Usual Suspects. Josh Jordan is in for Barry, who's doing some comedy in OKC. Aaron Raybould doing a little double duty as he fills in for Nicholas, who is in Vegas with Aaron's boys. So we have been open to changing the topic, but you people have been passionate about everything that we have thrown on the table today following the Texans. I'm going to be a little bit more specific when I say this. Texans win last night over the Colts. Because I am absolutely amazed by how many people are acting like they lost. Okay? Now, some of the text messages. One person said, Joel, fine that you said that, but the Packers have a tradition of winning. Texans have a tradition of being mediocre. Other people have said that at a certain point, the only way it's going to change is if you walk away and make them realize for all the revenue that they get off of the fans from merchandise to tickets to otherwise, that if the fans, if no one's going to make a change within the organization like we were talking about with the McNair family, then maybe seeing the fans walk away will force them into making a change that they didn't want to make. I don't know if that's possible. Someone said Colin Cowherd said a few years back, teams don't change until the fans do. When the fans stop showing up and begin to boycott, then GMs start to wonder, owners start to act. Fair point. So those are just some of them. I mean, I'm absolutely shocked that we're having these kind of conversations coming off a win. Someone asked, and it was funny because you and I were talking about this in a couple breaks back. Joel, do you think Mike McCarthy would be a better coach for Houston than Bill O'Brien? You know, let me say this before I completely crap on the idea. I will say from an offensive perspective, an innovative perspective, a capitalizing and utilizing a talent like Deshaun Watson, it would hurt you. Yeah. But I would say that from a game management, clock management, timeout management, and challenge management, and just overall coaching control standpoint, it would help.
You're right on that account. It would make them less interesting, though, and that's what we keep hearing. There's not a lot of edge with these guys. They're not super likable. The Saints fan that called in, like, hey, you know, I like Deshaun, but the rest of the guys, they don't excite me very much. And he talked about Michael Thomas and kind of compared him to Hopkins. Both of them possession receivers, right?
Right.
We talk a lot more about Odell Beckham losing a whole bunch of games on the Giants and on the Browns than we talk about possession receivers like Michael Thomas, you know, going to the playoffs and kicking ass every year.
Now, and someone to that point said, regarding the Saints caller, I know what Joel was trying to say, but since Barry is gone, got to call this out. Joel said the caller was on the inside looking in. LOL, love you guys. I did say that, and I meant it, because what I said was, he's an outsider being from New Orleans. He's an insider now looking in, because he's looking in on the Texans having now lived in the city for 5 years, so his perspective is even better. That's what I meant.
Yeah, and that's true, because he lives here now. He listens to, obviously, to Houston Sports Talk Radio now, or he wouldn't have called us. So he has a different perception of the Texans than when he lived in New Orleans. And I found that interesting. Even he feels like Bill O'Brien's a deterrent. And that's what surprises me, that Jay Glazer, who's on the outside sure. looking in, has the complete opposite perspective on this, thinking that O'Brien should be applauded for the Laremy Tunsil trade, for last night's win, for getting the Texans to the playoffs almost every year.
I think the Tunsil trade is fantastic if you don't give up the extra number one and you screw up and don't sign him long term before the deal is executed.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
I think that's something that people are chiming in on. Another person said, look, I'm a Saints fan that lives in Beaumont. Dude saying he only likes Deshaun is dumb. J.J. Reese, millions of dollars and you can't like him? Wow. I get that. J.J. is like He's like a different version of Mattress Mac to the city of Houston. At some point, it doesn't matter about the furniture anymore when you're Mattress Mac. You've done so much good. People just adore you no matter what. I think JJ, people realize his best years are behind him. And obviously, now he has health issues on multiple seasons. But people are never going to forget what he's done. And because of what he has done and how committed he's been to a city he's not from, people are going to love him forever.
They are. But when you get hurt 3 out of the last 4 years... and miss a significant amount of games, a lot of that good faith starts to go away. You're kind of thought of more of a mascot. You know what I mean? You're not a guy that's out there winning football games for us. And, you know, whether that's right or wrong, that happens. You know, I use my social media angles a lot because I do that for a living, and I think it applies here. Back before JJ had that really good bounce back year last season, when we would try and do any kind of JJ Watt content, it fell flat. You know, the masses felt like, come back and get healthy, JJ, and play good for us a season, and then we'll be back on board. And then that did happen. He came back and played really well last season, then everybody is back on board, and then he got hurt again. So, and now, you know, he's 30, man. It's not going to get better. And as great as JJ is when he's healthy, you can't count on him anymore. And I think he lost a lot of the fan base when he traded Clowney, because, you know, you talk about people first guessing things O'Brien does in football games that annoys them, stupid challenges, poor clock management. I think a lot of people saw, hang on to Clowney. You already have him under contract. You have enough cap room. And JJ's 30 and injury prone. You might need this guy at some point this year. And sure enough, here we are. You could really use Jadeveon Clowney.
And it's interesting because that's right. Essentially, when you get Gerrion Conley for Jadeveon Clowney, you've screwed up,
yeah.
Right? If you weren't going to sign him, you had ample opportunities to get something better than that for him, especially around the draft.
Yeah, or franchise him.
Exactly, you know, right. And know that, hey, for at least one more year, you got him because you knew you could have him anyway. And then you worried about it after the season's over, because we said the one thing he didn't factor in with all the moves he tried to make and the desperation that he showed was that he didn't plan for injuries.
No, and it's football. You have to.
So some of the other responses on text, because I was a little lax on this, and I want to get them in. Someone said, it was the worst traffic I've ever seen for a Texans game. I know two people that turned around and went home. Well, then you're just dumbasses the way you planned. You knew that it was right around rush hour. It's a night game on a Thursday. Plan accordingly. And if you can't, get the ticket, sell them, make some money because it was a big game. But then don't go. But don't give me the Texans. Don't, every time we talk Rockets or Texans and the inability for people to get there and show up and be on time, we get the traffic response. I'm not having it anymore.
Like, there's not traffic in other big cities, you know? It's like, come on, man. And the second half of the game was the best part of the game. The first half was kind of lackluster.
Because I already said we can, I don't know, someone said something about ignoring comments from the texter earlier, and he said, every show on the station bashes the Texans all day, and y'all can't figure out why people are turned off? We're just being honest. If you want flagrant red, white, and blue radio, go to 610. Because all they're going to tell you is sunshine, rainbows, and the Super Bowl is in the windshield, not the rearview mirror. And it's only a matter of weeks before they beat the Patriots and sweep the nation by storm when Bill O'Brien does win Coach of the Year. Shut the hell up. We're just being honest. That's what it is. If you don't like honest sports discussion, then, yeah, you can turn the channel.
And on the Blitz, we were very complimentary of the Texans for 2 weeks after they beat the Chiefs. Even after dropping even after dropping the game the next week, because we had said if they can go into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs, they have actually maybe turned a corner and they deserve credit. So we had a 2 week ban on saying anything negative about Bill O'Brien and the Texans because they had earned it.
Even after Fred and I are both on the bash Bill O'Brien because he deserves it in a lot of ways. But we both said after they beat a quarterback with a high QBR rating, which they hadn't been able to do in Phillip Rivers, and they beat the Chiefs, kudos to them. Doing things they hadn't done in the past, right? But you also have people like on the text line now that said the biggest problem we have is what things is he trying to overcome that haven't been self-inflicted? It's a fantastic text. Absolutely spot on. So that's something you got to consider as well, because fans in this city aren't dumb. I get that. But fans are also passionate about their sports. So you can be upset. But as we mentioned, you're not the Bengals. That would really be upsetting.
Yeah, we've got a good story about a Bengals fan we can get to on the other side.
Yep, absolutely right. So we've got 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go, 60 minutes on the clock. We'll get to that story and a whole lot more as we continue to roll on FEF Friday, right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.